You know what? You know what? One thing that's awesome is it is really great to be in God's presence all by yourself. Some of you might find it hard to imagine that I could spend 3 days talking to no one except Jesus, but I love it. You know, I used to be addicted to being around people, and it's what I thought would bring me life, but I realized there's something else that restores me. There's something else that brings real restoration to my soul, and that is intimate time with Jesus. But you know what's really sweet is after you've spent time alone with the Lord to come and worship alongside other people. Other people that have been spending time with Him as well. And it changes something in you. It is different. And it's a whole other piece of our walk with the Lord. And you guys probably heard me preach a message called One in the Spirit, a little series on that. If you didn't get that or you didn't hear that yet, you should look it up on our podcast and you should get it. And I think it's something really significant for us as a church. And here's one thing that I am sensing is that I'm actually for the first time, and this might sound a little bit weird, but for the first time in all the years that I've been leading here, I'm actually feeling like we're a church. That's cool. Like, I mean, you know, we gather together, but there's something I think that's happening where we're like becoming a family for real. You know what? How many of you guys are feeling that way? You guys feeling that way? Okay, sweet. Yay. Yay. You know what? That's so important. You know, so many churches just never feel that. They never experience that with the Lord. They never experience that with one another. I want to encourage you. Knit together. Get to know one another. If God is calling you here and this is your church, don't just be here and be alone. You want to be alone with Jesus, go be alone with Jesus. But when you come here, come and be with one another and expand your relationships. And don't just stay in the same group of people that you've always known. You know, the scripture in Matthew that says that if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you any different? Even than the tax collectors and the pagans, they even do this. So we've got to branch out beyond what just normal people do. We have to actually reach out with Christ's love and begin to know one another. You guys with me? Amen. You guys groovy?
Yeah.
I don't know why I like that word so much right now, but I'm going to keep using it until I wear it out. This has probably already happened. Okay, so
in the blast of his nostrils was the presence of God. It's like a rushing wind.
So Genesis chapter 16, what do you think? You guys want to start there? Should we? Let's go 15. Should we do it there? Should we? Genesis 15, what do you think? Ms. Beyer, you think Genesis 15, is that good? Why not? I got a whole nother message, but I think I'm going to preach this one instead. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. God's covenant with Abraham. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but soon a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Offspring? Jellyman. Jellyman? Offspring. Verse 6. Dude, ripping, rocking, turning, bustin', rolling. What did you say? All right. Abram believed the Lord, and he and it was credited to him as righteousness. You are my very great reward. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat and a ram. Just got those heifers laying around everywhere. Each 3 years old, along... They must have birth certificates on those things. Along with a dove and a young pigeon. Verse 10, Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged them in the halves opposite each other. And the birds, however, did... The birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. The sun was setting, and Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to be with your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants... Say fourth generation. Say Offspring. Jelly man. Your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and the darkness had fallen and the smoke, fire pot and the blazing torch appeared to pass between the two pieces. Woo! On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river of the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kinzites, the Catamonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephites, Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Gershites, and all the rest of the Jebusites, and all those ites. So Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Aww. But she was 800 years old. No, okay. So we gave her grace. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. How many ladies are glad your name is not Hagar? Come on. What's up, Hag? I mean, seriously, everybody gets a nickname, right? Why not you? Yeah. Okay, all the ladies are glad their parents didn't name them Hagar. So sad. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children, so sleep with my maidservant. This seems logical. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed. You guys with me? You guys okay? All right, this is such a... Say, this is going to be awesome. This is going to change my life. My old eyes... Say, my old eyes are going to be new eyes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This thing keeps... I got too much sleep this week. Oh, sweet Jesus. All right. So maybe we can build a family through her. Abram agreed,
what Sarai said. More wives, why not? So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, dang it, Sarai's wife took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. And he slept with her, and she conceived. Then she knew she was pregnant. She began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my maidservant in your arms, and now she knows she's pregnant, and she despises me." Somehow she missed that she kind of instigated all that. "But may the Lord judge between you and me. Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think is best." And Sarai mistreated Hagar. That seems logical too. So she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near the spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I am running away from my mistress, Sarai," she said. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "So I will increase your descendants, so that they will be too numerous to count." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "You are now a child, and you will have a son, and your son shall be named Ishmael. And the Lord has heard of your misery, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man." I love the King James. I love the King James version of that, because they don't say donkey. It's awesome. It's awesome. And everyone's hand against, oh wait, his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward his brothers. Okay. Now, after a while, Abram finally trusts God, and he bears a son with Sarai named Isaac, who was the promised one. But I want you guys to see a few things. Before we dig into that, let's just pray over this word. What do you think? Yeah. We like to pray over the word. You guys ready? Love it. I love it. Let's pray. God, we ask for your favor today. Lord, we ask that you would just envelop us with your favor, that it would be a shield about us today. God, that you would gird our minds. God, you would just reveal your word to us. God, you'd just open it up. God, in your season, Lord, that your word would be in season right now, God, and that it would transform our lives. And God, that we would have just an awesome encounter with you. Lord, we have faith to believe you for our destinies, God. We have faith to believe you for the things that you shaped us for, God. And today I pray that those things would begin to become a reality in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was a young lad, you know, all I ever wanted to do before I was a Christian is I wanted to be a motivational speaker. I'm not kidding. Totally Chris Farley, like motivational, going to schools, in and out of them, you know, like crazy. Yeah, I was. So my whole life was wrapped around spending time with people, loving people. One of my goals when I was in high school was to know every single person in my school. It's like 400 and some people. I knew every person by name, every single one. Okay, wow, big deal, right? Then I got saved. I gave my heart to Christ. The Lord had an encounter with Him. I had never even cracked a Bible. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, "I am real and this is what you're looking for. I've been trying to fill my life with helping people and trying to fill my life with it motivating people and teaching people and helping them become better people and succeed at their life." I was only like 16 years old. All right, I was a freak. So, I lived in the Kiski. I had nothing else to do.
So, it's that or drink the water. All the kids in the Kiski that had water filters were like, yeah, crazy eye. Explains it all. No water filter. Okay. So, So God moves on my heart and I begin to have a purpose. And God starts speaking some radical things to me in the first like 2 weeks that I get saved. I don't even have a Bible yet. And God's like radically speaking to me. So I have nothing to balance or gauge all of these things the Lord is saying to me by, right? So God starts speaking to me about how he wants to create a movement through my life in people's lives. That there's something special he wants to deposit in the kingdom of God. And I've been saved 2 weeks, and then he tells me he wants me to be a pastor. And I thought he said pasture. I'm not joking. So I was telling, she's my wife now, but I was telling, you know, Joni, man, I think the Lord wants me to be a pastor. And I knew what I was talking about. I knew it was like what I am now, you know, like the guy that preaches and stuff. And I was like, I think God wants me to be a pastor. She's like, you want sheep to eat on you? I don't get it. Like, what? I didn't even know what Christmas was about or why there was that Jesus thing inside of the barn. It made no sense to me. Or what's the Easter Bunny all about? I mean, I didn't know none of that junk. I didn't even know Jesus was about Easter. 16 years of my life, I never even knew. So a whole new world just starts to open up to me. Meaning, purpose, direction for who I knew I was supposed to be, right? Then God starts to show me some very specific but very huge things. Okay? Things that I don't really feel at liberty to share like with anybody very much, except for that it's a movement that God wants to do. And I'm feeling the weight of all of this and thinking, oh man, it's going to start now. I've got to start working on this thing. Because I'm like a get her done kind of guy. Like I like to just get moving on stuff, right? And so I just get like moving and grooving. I'm thinking, well, I got to be a pastor. So, you know, I got to like get out there and do it, right? My wife teases me about that still. She won't let it go. It's like, argh. It's all good fun. All good fun. But anyway, so I can remember meeting with other pastors and like telling them that I want to do this, I want to be this. And like, I remember this one pastor, he was down in Nikiski and I was just walking around his church. I was like totally staking his church out like Jericho. Because I wanted it. I was like 16 years old. And I was like, oh, I want to be the youth pastor here. I want to, because it was right next to my high school. And I was thinking, this would be perfect. I just had it all worked out in my own mind about how it's supposed to be. And so I start meeting with this pastor and I start telling him, I think the Lord wants me to be your next youth pastor. He's all like, oh, really? Oh, really? You know, and so I can remember working so hard to try to get the promise that God had given me. See, God gave me a promise. He spoke something into my heart. And you know, He gave me the title to that thing. If I have the faith to believe Him for it and to do what it takes to achieve it, then it's mine. It's there. It's in my hand. It's a title. Just like you get a title to a home, sign the deed, they sign it. Once they sign it over to you, you put your name on it. Guess what? Whatever that piece of property is, it belongs to you. It's a car, it's a home, right? You own the title. Now, when the Lord speaks something into your life, like He spoke into Abram's life before he was Abraham, right? When He speaks something into your life, you've got to accept that thing. He signed it over to you. And you've got to write your name on it. And you've got to accept that title and that deed and say, Lord, I want it. It's mine. And you know what? When you accept that title and that deed, you need to allow yourself to become pregnant with it. It's nasty for some of you guys, isn't it?
It's not a tumor.
Okay. But Abram, check it out. Abram and Sarai, like 100 years old. So he's like, yuck. We got to make a baby? It's like, I don't want to make a baby with you. You're 100 years old. No, they wanted a baby, man. They wash that out of your mind's eye. That was too far. Too far. But what did God promise Abraham? We'll just call him Abraham because I don't like calling him Abram. Is everybody groovy on that? What did he promise him? He said, your descendants, hey, get outside. Go look at the sky. Even if you could count that many stars, which you can't, that is how many people I'm, that's how many your descendants is going to be. Say, Hey, that's a good promise. Now, for us, we don't think so much in generations as much as they did then. Because then, they were trying to create nations. They had everybody had a vision to create a nation of themselves. All the great leaders did. They wanted to subdue other nations so that their nation could grow. Okay? Abram's like, dang, you're going to make a nation out of me? That's sweet. I'm sure he said it. I'm sure he had a whistle when he talked. I'm sure he did. He had to have. It's like that little gopher on Winnie the Pooh. Do not be afraid, for I am your shield. I am your great reward. I am your great reward, is what the Lord said. And He promised that He's going to give him this vision, this deposit. But what happens in Abram and Sarai's life? They start getting a little bit uneasy because they can't see it yet. Right? It's not right there in front of them. She hasn't gotten physically pregnant yet. Now, Abram believed the Lord in the beginning. It was credited to him as righteousness because he took that title and that deed and he accepted it. But then his faith started to get, you know, a little bit shook up. And what's he do? He tries to make it happen. He tries to make the promise happen. So Sarai goes, hey, let's drop this chick in your tent. And then maybe we'll build that nation through her. See, look, because we can figure it out. And God said you were going to do it, so maybe this is the way and we should just kind of make it happen. Just do it. Just make it happen. I said, just do it.
Yeah.
Ew. Okay, let's be mature. All right. So, they decide they're going to just create this blessing. They're going to create it all by themselves without the Lord. This is a big problem. Because you know what? God made Abraham for something specific. He's a man that was created to create nations. That was the anointing that Abraham had. Isn't that awesome? He didn't really get it though. See, God told him that and he believed him like, sweet, that sounds great, I'm there. But then he didn't realize that if he was going to procreate outside of God's blessing, outside of God's intentional favored preferred destiny for him, then He was going to create. He was going to do what he does. What his anointing is. So he gets with Hagar. He gets with the hag. And they conceive. And what do they conceive? A nation. They conceive a nation. Ishmaelites. What does it say about them? It says that you, so I will increase your descendants so that they will be too numerous to count. Doesn't that sound a lot like the other blessing? Huh? Doesn't that sound like the same promise? You are now a child, and you will have a son, and his name shall be Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone. Who does that sound like to you? And everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. These are the descendants of the Muslims and all the Muslim nations. Same descendants. And for thousands of years, guys, because of this one moment, there's been ridiculous amounts of conflict in our entire world because Abram planted a seed that became a nation because that's who he was. Because he did it on his own, outside of God's blessing, outside of what God anointed him to do, outside of what God shaped him for, and he didn't wait for God's preferred destiny, for God to work it out. He didn't wait for it to come along. All of a sudden, he created something that he didn't really know what he was doing. He created something huge that was not good. Now, I'm not saying that all these people are just bad people. God loves them. Obviously, he blessed them. But this is not God's promise. What did he promise the Israelites to be? A blessing. He said, God's going to create a nation through Abraham, and then he creates them, he blesses them through Jacob, which who has became Israel, right? And it says, you will be blessed to be a blessing to all the nations. Do we have a contrast here in these two? The one that's in the favor of God that was destined by him, and when Abraham waited for it to come along, all of a sudden it produced a blessing to the nations. But when we look at, oh, you can erase that Psalms 23 because I'm not going to preach out of that today. No, you don't have to. You guys just forget about it. All right. But when he went out and did it on his own and he used his anointing outside of what it was made for the kingdom, it produced something that wasn't a blessing to the kingdom. Wasn't a blessing to this world. Driving car bombs into everything every week. I mean, they've been doing that suicide stuff since the beginning. Wild donkey of a man. Now I want you guys to think about your preferred destiny. Now if you look in 2 Corinthians. What?
Somebody messing with me? All right.
I didn't write that. What? Not Psalm. So sweet.
Well, I didn't know it said that. Sheesh. I know. Well, I can't read.
I just fake it every week.
12:12. Man. The body is a unit though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized in one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free. And we are all given to one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. See, your own perspective of who you think you are and you think you're worthless or not valuable doesn't make you not part of the body. Well, I'm just a hand. Well, I'm not going to be part of the body. You can't just choose. You just can't just choose to not be part of the body. It doesn't work like that. I can't. My hand just can't say, I'm leaving. Right? It doesn't do that. I wish some moles would do that, but just kidding. I don't really have any weird moles, but okay. The damage is done. Wash my mind's eye. Okay, verse 14. Now the body is made of many parts, of which say I'm not a part, blah, 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 blah. 16. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Just as He wanted them to be. I recall a scripture in Jeremiah where He is the potter and we're the clay. And He forms us into whatever He desires for us to be. And He wanted us to be just that way, right? Verse 19, if they were all one part, there would be one, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. All right. Now you are the body of Christ. Verse 27, each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. I shouldn't have skipped this part. Verse 22. On the contrary, those parts in the body that seem to be the weaker or weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body. But each part, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, then every part rejoices. Now, listen. That was a lot, wasn't it? Is that okay? You guys are awesome, dude. I love how you guys just love the Bible. Y'all love the Bible. If we look at our lives and we truly see how God fashioned us, that each one of us, no matter how we perceive ourselves, we are a valuable contribution. And each one of us has the same kind of destiny that Abraham has. You've got to see that your gift in your part, even if it seems undesirable, or even if it seems amazing, and you're like, how could that be me? How is that possible? It's too big. Look, each one of us has to do our part. And each one of us has to realize that together, all together, we make the body function properly. And each one of us has the potential to affect generations. And not just what we're in right now. Not just where you're at right now. Not just what you can see or what you could make happen right now. You can't think that way. Abraham, God is talking to him about generations. He said, now check it out. You're going to die and you're never going to see any of this happen. But the deposit that you leave because of your faith, because of your righteousness through your faith, check it out. We're going to create nations. And we're going to bless them so much that they're going to be a blessing to all the other nations. What about your gift? What about your contribution? Who did God make you to be? You don't know. Generations. Come on. Generations. Whether it's great or small, or in your eyes, you're like Abraham, and you go to the grave, and you never even see that nation. You have two kids. Right? One's a donkey. Sweet. See you later. It's like, bye, Dad! Could you imagine having a kid like that?
I don't know.
Some of you might have been kids like that. It's a wild donkey of a man. I can't wait to meet somebody that I could actually say that. I could maybe say that about you, Andrew. Wild donkey of a man. You're kind of wild. Have you guys ever seen Andrew go crazy? Okay, then if you've seen him go crazy, then you get what I'm talking about. Come on. Come on. How big is your faith? How big is your faith? How big can you really dream? Because if you can dream big, then guess what? God can move big. If you can dream big about who you are and the value of your contribution, even if it's a modest part of the body of Christ, or it's maybe a less desirable part, or a seemingly less important, because your role might just be this small little cog in the whole body that just helps this one little part. But if that part isn't there, one, either the whole body dies, or the whole body suffers because you don't contribute. And we're not just talking about right now, our church, oh, it's growing and it's so good and we're just getting better what we do and more people are getting saved. See, all that's great. But what about the generations that are coming after us? Come on, we're not just building right now. We have the same calling of Abraham. We have access to the full inheritance that Abraham has. And the Bible talks about this. That you and I have full inheritance to what Abraham's promise was. You and I can take our gift and let it impact generations. If you have the faith for it. And if you're willing to not have to see it happen. How do you do this? Say, Pastor, that sounds great. How do I do this? It's so stinking simple and so hard. It is so simple and so not easy. That every day, you've got to walk in obedience. And you've got to walk in faith. Even if you can't see that thing happen yet. Even if, like Abraham, he's like, well, honey, you're not pregnant again. Well, try again next year. Right? Or tomorrow. They're kind of on the 1 year or you know, 1 day plan. They just went back and forth. So what? So what? God promises you something. You've got to accept it in your heart. You've got to write that title. You've got to sign it. You've got to accept it into your heart. You got to, oh, yeah! Yeah! That's who I'm made to be! Just like that, or it's not happening. No, just kidding. You just got to accept that thing in your heart, man. You got to be ready. Receive it with faith. He says it to Abraham. Abraham goes, yeah, let's have a kid. I'm 190. Let's do it. It's like descendants. Okay, God's speaking something into your life right now. Who He's calling you to be. What He wants you to do. The contribution you're called to make. What is it? You've got to receive that thing. No matter how small it might seem in your own eyes, you're going to look back. And when you get into heaven, and the Lord's going to take you, and He's going to turn you around, you'll walk up, you're like, Jesus, you're awesome. He goes, now check it out. Look at what you did. Yeah. He's going to high-five you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Even if He only gave you one little bleep. You're faithful with that little bleep. Right? You get an investment on that thing. You maximize it. All that you can do, right? You have faith for it. Well, Lord, You said I'm going to get it, so I'm going to just keep doing it. Right? You just keep having faith for that thing. Accept it. You believe that you're pregnant with it, that it's a part of who you are, and at some point, it's going to give birth. It's going to become something. A lot of these things you'll see in your natural life, they'll come about. Some of the greatest things you'll probably never see because God wants to use you to impact the generations. The generations through your life. But listen, if I only do it, then only one part of the body is impacting the generations. That's not good. Now it might have impact here, but it won't have the multiplicational impact that it can have throughout the generations. This is why I have lots of babies. I'm not joking. I got faith for disciples. You. Generations. Through your lives. Generations. Through my life. Through my children, like Abraham had faith through his children. Me too. What do you got faith for? Come on. Who are you? You don't have to have it all figured out today. But listen, today, who are you for the Lord? The key to success in your ministry, I want you guys all to say this. I am a minister for the Lord. Now, I want you to say it this time. I want you to believe it.
Like, I guess I am.
No, you are. If you know Jesus and He's in your life, you're a minister. That's it. Say, I am a minister. I am a minister. Come on, why don't you stir up your faith? You got to believe that God shaped you for something great. He shaped you to work not only alone to make your contribution, but to be knit with the body together to impact the generations. Look, we're going to turn this city on its ear. We're going to turn this city upside down. It doesn't know what's going to happen. When your kids as kids come out, right? They don't do that when they usually go, brah! Guess what? This city's going to be different. They're going to call this city a Christian city. Do you know what? Every revival, you know where it started? Do you know where every revival started? No. Not just a church.
People. Devoted individuals.
It came through a small group of people that committed themselves to something great. That's it. And they wouldn't let go. They would not let go. You know what Jacob did when he wanted his blessing? Yeah. He wrestled for it. He sends his whole family across the river. And he stays and he encamps and he knows he's about to have an encounter with the Lord and it's going to be big. And this angel shows up. People, it was Jesus, whatever. He grabs him and he wrestles with him all night. Things like, let me go. He's like, no, not till I get my blessing. Not till I get it. Lord, not till You bless me. I'm not letting go. Now listen, every day, you've got to have that attitude. You've got to wrestle like Jacob wrestled. Obedience is the key to your success in ministry. You cannot let go of the vision God placed in you. You cannot devalue it. You cannot let the enemy devalue it. You can't hate yourself and beat yourself up and say, oh, I'm no good. I just grew up from a bad place and, oh, I got too much stuff. I did too many stupid things. I'm never going to be nothing. No, that's not true. God is the Redeemer. Get the message. He'll take your junk and turn around to gold if you obey Him, if you submit to Him, if you live a life of faith, if you commit your life every day to wrestling out the faith that God has placed inside of you. Come on. You can't do it alone. We got to do it together. We do it together. All of a sudden, the foundation of the city are going to begin to shake. Wherever you go, that faith goes with you. That peace of who you are in the body of Christ, it goes with you. It's huge. It's huge. Talking generations. So if you don't see it in your lifetime, it doesn't mean you failed. But I promise you, your generation is special. And you're going to see some awesome things with your own eyes. If you have the faith for it. But the greatest things are going to come in the generation that's following you. The generation that you raise up. The generation that you disciple. And through your own children. It's going to be ridiculous. Do you believe it? You've got to be willing to trade your life for it. You want to trade your life for something that's worth it? That's it right there. Find your spot. Find your place. And begin to love it. Just love it. Love who God shaped you to be. Love who He made you to be. No matter what you look like, no matter what you smell like every morning when you get up out of bed, do the best with what you got. Oh, a faithful brother. He's an old-timer. He always says, the barn needs painting, paint it. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror. The barn needs painting, you paint it. That means nothing to my message, by the way. Unless you want to just say, you know, do the best with what you got. He made you the way you are for a reason. And you got to embrace that. And what the world says that you're supposed to be successful or beautiful, that is not real beauty. That is not real success. None of that junk is. Faith, obedience, this is real success in life. That's real success. You finding what God made you for and you fitting into that place. Whatever He does with you, you love it. And you have faith for it. When you go into eternity and you look back, all of a sudden, there's the Lord showing you how great of an impact you made. You know, you guys, you throw that. I'm going to close with this, just thinking about this. And it's a great example. You toss a rock into a pool of water. Pool. What happens? That's sick, isn't it? Okay, I was out at a lake when I was retreating, and I don't know what was jumping in the water. Some kind of birds or something were like, bloop, bloop, and disappearing or diving down, or I don't know what they're doing. But I could never see them, but I see these ripples just go, and it was amazing how far out they would go. You know, they just keep getting huger and huger and huger. You know what causes our faith to ripple like that? Do you know? It's faithfulness. Faithfulness throughout generations is what causes the ripple to continue to get larger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But when someone breaks that faithfulness, it stops it. I believe we need to create one. I think the Lord wants to take with this generation and throw a giant rock in the water and create huge ripples that are going to impact generations and nations. Amen? Amen? Will you stand with me? Let's pray.
Hey, we're good. I'm just going to pray.
Lord, I just ask that You would reveal Yourself to each and every one of us, our destiny, our shape, our peace. Give us vision. Come on, let's ask the Lord together. I want you to ask with your lips. Come on, ask with your lips. God, give me vision. for my life. God, give me vision for my life. Show me where I fit. No matter what it is, God, I accept it and I love it. Speak to me. Show me today. And God, if you don't show me right now, just tell me what to do and then lead me into it. Lead me into that thing that you made me for. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You guys want to pray with me? Okay. It's going to be a prayer of repentance. How many of you guys have ever not liked who God made you to be? Be brave. Okay. All right. So God made you, right? He fashioned you. He willed you. And if we don't like ourselves, that's kind of not right, is it? Is that the Bible says we have to love one another as we love ourselves. That's huge. And if we don't actually love ourselves, that's sin. That's okay though, right? Because you know what? We all sin like every day, all the time. So, this is one. But you know what? What we can do right now is we can make that right. Because we need to love ourselves and love who God made us to be. Because God's going to start revealing the vision to you if you choose to love yourself. If you hate yourself and you hate who God made you to be, then He's probably not going to show Himself or what He shaped you for because you hate it already. And that's sin. You're just kind of sinning against yourself. Does that make sense? Okay. Sometimes we go like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be, but I hate myself. It's like, oh, okay. So can I lead you in a prayer? All right. So Lord Jesus, come on. If you want to pray, and this is you, pray this out. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for every time I hated myself or I despised myself. Forgive me for every negative word that I spoke over myself. For every time I told myself I was ugly or fat or not worth it or not valuable. Please forgive me. I choose right now to forgive myself for sinning against myself. And in the name of Jesus and by the power of His blood, I ask you to cancel all of Satan's power and all of his authority over me in this sin of self-hatred. Now, in Jesus' name. And I command self-hatred to go now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come heal my heart. Help me to love myself. I choose right now to love myself just the way you made me. Special. God, you willed me. You fashioned me for your will and your purpose. Give me vision for my life. Show me where I fit. Reveal your truth to me. Did God speak anything to anybody here? Kristen? What? He called you to be a prayer warrior. That's awesome. Anybody else? God say anything to you? Did you feel anything when you prayed? Awesome. God gave you your energy for a reason. Yeah, you probably thought you were ADD, huh? No, you're not. That junk's all a lie. That's a gift, dude. They tried to put that crap on me too, but I don't believe it. Dude, somebody's got to have energy to take this world. Amelia, what did God speak to you? Did you? Uh-huh. How long is it?
We got to go.
It's not that long. Hey, let's do it in just a second. Anybody else? Travers. A worship leader. Sweet. I like that news. That's awesome. We need more worship leaders. I believe that about you too, Travers. That's the Lord. That is the Lord in your life. Don't let anybody tell you any different. You've got to stand in faith for that. That's good. I don't know what your name is. What's your name?
Melissa.
Dude. That's sick. Train worship leaders. Dude, come on. That's awesome. Did anybody feel the Lord set them free from stuff when you prayed through that? Okay, awesome. Over there in the corner, Mama. My mama over there. She's not really my mom, but I adopt her as my mom. She's really Steve's mom. Was that cool, right, dude? Are you cool with that? All right, praise the Lord. What's your name? David. Yeah. It's good. It's a good word. Amen. All right, well, let's... Do you guys want to hear Amelia's poem real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Are you going to hold it for me? Or should I hold it?
No, I'm going to hold it. If you hold it, then I'll never get it back. We'll be here for an hour.
The poem is called I Don't Like Myself. Lord, why couldn't I have been born different? I didn't think I could change. I've never been ambitious or practically motivated to anything big or great. I dream big, but I guess I just can't make it. Maybe I'm one of those vessels of clay the Bible talks about, but I'm so unhappy. Misery follows me. I hate my life. And this is what God revealed. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. I call you out of lethargy and the super of lies and misinformation you believe about your life. Rise up, leave self-condemnation behind you. Come take my hand and I will show you a heavenly mirror so you can see your true self as I see you. The winter of your misery is past and spring new green. I can't read my handwriting.
Is that the sweetest?
Yeah. New green and...
It's okay. Keep going.
Okay.
Figure it out.
It's here to warm your soul. Love me and you will love yourself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so good.
That was really awesome.
So you guys ready to go? Yeah, it's 9:08.
You know what? I'm excited about where we're going. And I want to encourage you again that we need to be inviting people into our family. Okay? Like David said, we need to be reaching out. You guys, we've got to get our lives into the lives of other people. And you need to be sharing your faith. And if you've been through our evangelism courses and stuff, then man, I'm telling you what, you need to be grooving for the Lord. You need to be getting your life out there and sharing your faith with people and consistently winning people to Christ. And casting, the seeds of who Christ is in their hearts. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
This is what we do as a church. We share our faith. And we need to be bringing those people in here and begin discipling them. Be bold. Be courageous. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Be blessed. I love you. I'll see you next week. I'm going to do this series on Psalms. It's going to be really good. Psalms 23. I'll start next week, hopefully. Unless the Lord does something else crazy. All right, we love you guys. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.